It's time now for the Interpulpit Radio Blast with missionary and pastor Rick Bell. Teaching truth from God's Word that you can use now and not just for the hereafter. And now, here's Rick with today's blast.
Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly because he himself is abundance. God is abundant. He doesn't just create a little bit of sand. He creates multitudes and grains of sand on this earth. He doesn't just create a few stars, but the stars are beyond count and measure. He doesn't just give you salvation, but he gives you a kingdom wherein righteousness dwells. He doesn't just give you grace, but he gives you the abundance of grace. Romans 5:17, how much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. He doesn't just save you, but he wants you to reign, be a priest and king with him, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, so that all things are yours and that you can overcome all the wiles of the devil and that you can overcome this world by faith and be more than a conqueror. And we've been talking about his abundant nature. That it's just, he can't just give a little. It's not like him. He has to give it all. He has to give his son. He can't just give a little bit. And that's why, you know, we're supposed to give in return. He says, give and it will be given back to you in greater measures. You will abound to every good work because Jesus abounded on your behalf. Jesus, who was rich, became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. That's 2 Corinthians 8:9. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, that just means spiritually rich. Well, it means spiritually rich, but it's not limited to spiritually rich because Jesus was never spiritually poor. I mean, it said he who was rich became poor. He was never spiritually poor. I mean, he was still probably the richest he ever was when he was on earth doing the will of the Father. And that's where we become really rich, when we're doing the will of the Father, when we know the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that we prosper. He delights in the prosperity of his servant. That's Psalm 35, verse 27. He delights in the prosperity of his servant. He delights in your well-being. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given his life for you. He wouldn't have shed his blood for you. He wouldn't have said, ask and it will be given to you so that your joy may be full. He's a good father. Who am I as a father? But I delight and I love to give good gifts to my kids. I don't want to see my kids wallowing in the pit. I want to see them doing well, being prosperous. And you can take that as you want. You can say, oh, he's preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm saying God is prosperous in himself. God is an abundant God. That's his nature. And he wants us to reflect his nature. He doesn't want us being miserable, moping around and being yucky. I mean, he wants to win the world. He wanted Israel. He chose Israel so that they would be his messengers to the nations. He wanted to reveal himself to the nations through this people. And now today it's through his church and it will be through Israel again. But the point is that he wants to reveal himself as a good God. And why else would he have given his very life? He gave it all that we might live, and not so that we could live miserably and be worse off than the others who are living under the false gods in this world. It just doesn't make sense that people would take offense at a prosperity message. Now, I understand why they take offense at it when it's abused and when it's just getting people's hopes up for a new car or something, or just thinking that they need to have everything. Paul said that I've learned to be content, whether I'm abased or abounding, I've learned to be content. And that's true prosperity. When you're content, that's what we're talking about. But it does play out in the material realm. If you think that you have to be lacking all the time, you didn't read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You haven't read a lot of the Psalms. I can't remember exactly. It might be Psalm 84, I believe it is, maybe 89. But it says the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. The Lord doesn't withhold. He's not a withholder. He gives more than enough. He gave more than enough bread and fish when he fed the multitudes, that there were 12 baskets of leftovers. What a waste. No, it's just extravagant God giving extravagantly. When he told them to launch out into the deep and let down their nets, they only let down one net, but he gave so many that it broke the net. He probably would have broken several nets. He just wanted to show his abundance. That's just who he is. And we need to reflect that nature. And we don't have to say, I'm Mr. Chintzy, I'm Mr. Cheapo. But I also give generously because I'm a part of a generous heritage. I've received generously. I've received everything in Christ. I've received a kingdom. And why should I hold back and be not like my father? Wow. You know, I want to do the works of God. I want to perform the miracles, but I also want to have the character of God and the nature of his giving in me. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that he will enrich you with all liberality. I'm losing my words again. He will enrich you with all liberality so that it may cause thanksgiving among his people. And that you will abound in every good work. And you say, well, I haven't abounded, or I'm struggling to make it. And here's where I'm saying we need to look to him again and understand that he is abundance itself. He is abundance in that we have been looking perhaps for the answer rather than for the giver himself. And, you know, look for the answer. Look for that check in the mail, or look for the healing that you're desiring. But that's secondary. Get your eyes back on Jesus and know that he loves you. Keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude says in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Convince yourself that he loves you. Convince yourself that you are the inheritor of his abundance. And receive it spiritually. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of his heart. Don't look to him just to get something, but see him as the something. See him as your portion, your exceeding great reward. And when you get merged with him, when you are in that spirit, in that frame, you can't help but to be abundant yourself, and it's not going to matter what you have in your hand at the moment or if you've been cured yet of whatever it is you're going through. It's already been done in the spiritual realm, but you're just so caught up in him and you're looking to him. You've risen above it. You've risen above it, and it doesn't matter what happens next, because let me tell you what, you have an abundance in eternal life, and you have the beginning and the end, Jesus Christ, and your little problem is going to end at some point. Your little problem has an end. It has a beginning and an end. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end. He goes beyond, above and beyond, exceedingly more than you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you, and that power you have to trust and believe is working in you. And how do I access it? Through the Word. You get into the Word. But you've been given the abundance of grace, and not just a little bit, but God loves you so much, he's given you an abundance of it, Romans 5:17. And you've been given the fullness of God. You didn't just get allowed to get into here and just see him from the back row. You're not just in standing room only. But it says in John chapter 1, verse 16, that of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Fullness, not just here you go, you little peon, I'm going to give you this much, and I'm going to give Smith Wigglesworth this bucket full. No, it's not like that. You have to believe what the Word says. The Word says that of his fullness we've all received, and that you may be filled with all the righteousness and fullness of God, that you may be filled with the fruits of his glory, that you may be filled. And it plays out in Psalm 23 again. It says, I will not lack, I will not want. But what else does it say in Psalm 23? That even verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, this is not talking about just a spiritual thing now. It's you're in the presence of your enemies on earth. Your spiritual enemies, your spiritual foes, your problems, your circumstances, and maybe those who are actual people trying to kill you or to give you a miserable life at work or school or wherever, or your neighbors who are doing rotten things. But God prepares a table before them, before the presence of my enemies, because he should be showing them that he abundantly is providing for you. So much that David said, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. You don't just fill my cup, but my cup runs over, and it's in the presence of my enemies. And this is so far off from the experience of most of the church. And we all struggle. I'm not condemning anybody. It's been off from my experience. But this is what the Word teaches, that we are having a cup that's overflowing in the presence of our enemies. And the reason that we're not exhibiting that, or that it's not being manifested in our lives, is often because we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord, that we're not believing all these truths about him. We're not understanding him. In Jeremiah chapter 9, I think it's verse 24, but it says, let him who boasts not boast in his wisdom or strength or riches. That's not what you're boasting in. That's not what you're looking to. But let him boast in this, that he knows and understands me, that I am the Lord, and I exercise righteousness and justice. You know him, and you understand him. Now, a lot of us have gone so far as knowing him, but it's not understanding him. We haven't understood him as abundant in nature. At least I've been in that place. And when you find yourself struggling and wondering if God's going to help you and wondering if you're going to make it and he's going to get you through, you don't understand him. I mean, it shouldn't even be, this is something you don't even need to pray about, actually, because you don't understand. His nature is love and abundance, and it's an abundance of love. And if he has called you, he's going to take care of you. If you're in his position, which is in Christ, and you're devoted to him, you know that he's not going to let you down. That's not like him. He doesn't just have a thought towards you and, oh, I forgot about him today. No, his thoughts are more than the numbers of sand on the sea. His love for you goes, he knows every number of hairs on your head. And even if you don't have hair on your head, he knows you from top to bottom. And that's the abundance of God. And he doesn't just give you silver and gold. He doesn't redeem you with those things. Those things will rot and disappear in the end. But he gives you the very lifeblood of his son beyond value, and it's personal. And he knows you by name. And so, you know, these are the things that he is an abundant God. And that why should I be struggling and worrying about tomorrow? He said, do not worry about tomorrow. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. And it says in Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you, not give you a little, but fill you with all joy, not just joy, but all joy. He wants everything for you. This is what we got to grasp and receive and believe. He wants us to have it all. We don't have to beg and struggle. If you're struggling, it's not the gospel. I've just learned that the gospel is about rest. And I knew that all along, but you know what? It's become a greater revelation in these days. If I'm struggling, it's a sign, it's a warning, and say, hey, I forgot who I am, or I forgot who God is, or I forgot the freedom of the gospel. I forgot what the gospel has provided. Take a deep breath and relax and just be happy. I think myself happy, Paul said in Acts 26, I think. But you have to think on these things. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and it's by looking to him, not what you have, not boasting in your riches, wisdom, or strength, or your lack thereof, but in knowing him and understanding his love for you. Keep yourselves in the love of God, he says in Jude 21. But here we're talking about being filled with all joy and peace in believing. How do you get filled with all joy and peace? Well, it's by the God of hope filling you in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's the abundance again, abounding. He doesn't want you just having a little. He wants you having all. All things are yours, he says in 1 Corinthians 3. All things are yours. And how can it be otherwise? Because he gave us all in Jesus Christ. He's a big God. That's trivial to say it that way, but how else can you say it? He's big. He's extravagant. He's abundant. And he's full of love. And he wants you to abound in hope, not wallow in despair, not wallow in struggles, not wallow in lack. Not wallow in putting ashes on your head and saying chance and things because you have to get it right with God. God's already got it right through Jesus, and all you got to do is get into him. Take his yoke. So many in the church trying to take him and making him take our yoke, and bringing Jesus down to my level and saying, oh, why can't I get this? Why ain't I being blessed? There I am from Mississippi. Ain't. But we have to take his yoke. Because once we get into position with him, we receive what he receives, and it's ours. The Father said of Jesus, this is my son in whom I well pleased. And Jesus says, take my yoke. Get into position with me. We want him to come into our position. Woe is me, and why am I struggling all this? And come on, Jesus, come side by side with me. No, we go side by side with Jesus into that yoke. A yoke brought oxen together side by side. It clamped them into position together. And that's what he says. Take my yoke. Come into position with me. What is his position? The Father loves me. He's well pleased with me. And that's yours. Well, wait, but I, no, be quiet. Be quiet. It's yours. Just believe and abound and receive all joy and peace, knowing that your God is not cheap, and your God is not small, and your God is not one who's not up to the task, but he's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to his power that's working in us. Believe it and start working that power, friends, and take it. It's yours.
You've been listening to Rick Bell, author of the Interpulpit blog. For more teachings and information on Rick's ministry, please visit interpulpit.com. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and rejoice. Jesus is coming soon, and he's even with you now.